Hello everyone and welcome back to Uncommon Sense, the most uncommon place on the internet where we question everything and learn together. I am your host, Billy the Kid, and of course in the studio we have a frozen chair.
We have a
Why is it
chair.
So funny?
Oh, that's priceless. I love it.
Best intro ever.
We have the Invisible Man.
Wonder what he has to say about all this.
with everything that's going on in the world today, I wish I could be invisible.
Oh, like he's probably like, thank goodness I'm invisible.
Right. Oh man. Yes, in the studio today we have myself, we have Billy, and we also have a longtime viewer and listener, Leah.
Hi.
She's been on the show before.
It's been a long time though. It's been a long time.
Long time.
Yeah.
I think it's been like almost a year.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there's over there still. Yeah. So we were in a couple sheds ago.
Right?
Now we got the newer studio and a little more room. Not a lot of room, but a little more room.
A little bit.
A little bit. So.
Anyway,
what are we talking about today, Billy?
Oh, I don't bloody know.
You got to forgive Billy and myself and also Leah. We're recovering from a party last night.
We're all hungover.
A little hungover.
And I'm wearing pirate stuff. I'm not going to stand up all the way over here, but I got belts and sashes and
buckles. And...
Yep. I'm all buckled up. Ready to go. Oh.
I hope you're buckled up. No, we had a good time last night. The party was, a huge success. Everyone that came enjoyed themselves.
Yep.
Those that could still remember it.
What?
Some can't. They partaked in partying a little too hard last night. Some ended up passing out in cars in the driveway.
So yep. It happens.
And that's a sign of a good party.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But nothing was broken.
Nothing was broken.
So.
Yeah. And we did have a couple special guests at the party last night.
We did?
We did. From Owls and Aliens, our favorite band.
We know those guys? That's so cool.
Right?
Why didn't anyone tell me? No, I'm just kidding.
You missed it all.
I just missed everything. Dressed up for nothing. No, it was good.
It was a good party, you know.
I think the Peter Pumpkin Eater, though, was my favorite.
I think that was... I don't know, that and the Mad Scientist.
Yeah.
The Mad Scientist really got into the role.
Yeah.
Yeah. But the Peter Pumpkin Eater was awesome.
Right?
I think that was an awesome job.
Anyways, yeah, we don't really have a lot that we want to specifically talk about today.
No particular topic. We're just going to bounce around all over the place and talk about
a little bit.
A little bit of this, a little bit of that.
Fall asleep. Wake up. Oh. Look, even the dog's passed out.
Dogs
she didn't
get
a drink last night either.
We had a good time. I had a great time. I hope everyone that did come had a great time. So
you said something earlier about the whole gender role thing. I mean, I guess
we
could go and talk about that a little bit.
Yeah, we talked about it before in the past and everything, but you know, it was one of the things that really I think needs to stick with people. You know, gender roles, traditional gender roles. And if we didn't have traditional gender roles, why do we have so many men that are trying to become women?
But they don't want to actually play the role.
Right.
The feminine role.
They don't want to play the feminine role. They just want to be.
I mean, there are some.
Right.
You know, but.
To me, that shows a lack of responsibility of not wanting to take on the, whole responsibility or sole responsibility of being a man and all that it entails.
And how insulting to
women.
Real women.
Yeah. Well, but they,
you know.
Go ahead.
No, go ahead.
There's so many out there that think that traditional gender roles shouldn't exist anymore.
Right.
I mean, they call, a man within traditional gender roles toxic masculinity.
Yes.
And that type of thing. And, the females no longer should have to, stay at home and barefoot and pregnant in the kitchen, which I can totally understand that. But, some women like the traditional roles.
Mm-hmm.
And some men like it.
And why should we put down those that want and respect those gender roles?
Mm-hmm. And the women that want to be able to stay home and raise their kids and all
right.
that.
Like, we're alienating those people. And that's wrong.
Children need their mommies. You know? I mean, obviously they need daddies too, but...
Yeah.
You go back to traditional things, and dad would be out hunting and whatnot.
Yeah.
You know? And then mom's at home cooking, cleaning, and doing all that, but that's a lot of work.
Yeah.
Somebody's got to do it.
Yeah.
You know?
A lot of work for them.
And that's not to say that...
People living.
When he comes home, he's not going to help her with stuff.
No.
You know what I mean? Yeah. He should.
Yeah, he should.
If he doesn't, then... deadbeat. You know what I mean? But, so she shouldn't be expected to do literally everything. I saw a video the other day, and it was a couple, and they were discussing whether or not or, like, whose job it is to fold the clothes and all that.
Right.
Do the laundry. And I got a glance of the kids, and there was, like, three or four of them. From anywhere from, like, 7 to 15, maybe.
Okay.
And I'm like, those kids need to be doing their own laundry. Folding their own clothes.
Yeah.
How are they supposed to learn life skills if we don't teach them...
If we don't give them chores and responsibilities, then they won't learn up to be, or learn to grow up to be responsible and productive adults.
Mm-hmm.
Plus, they're not going to know how to do basic adult things like
washing dishes,
do your own laundry,
mm-hmm.
How to pay your bills.
Yeah,
which I think a lot of it should be courses in schools too. That because sometimes you do have those kids that don't have. The parents that want to teach them.
Right.
Well, and they used to have like home economics or whatever, and.
They used to.
Yeah, but they don't anymore.
Yeah.
No, they don't.
They took away shop class. They took away home ec.
Oh, yeah. Too much of a liability.
I remember baking cakes in home ec.
I know.
I was one
that took home ec. I did it for a couple reasons. One, I wanted to learn how to sew and cook.
But see, I had the grandma that I had who taught me all that stuff, so I wasn't interested in that. But I took shop class.
But I had parents that taught me this stuff, too. My ulterior motive for joining OMAC was because,
girls.
That's where the girls were.
Anyway.
That's like getting up past the PE, you get in there, you get to find out, a little bit more about the person, not in a sexual manner, but, just on a personal level.
Well, and a lot of times in home ec, you teamed up with somebody.
Yeah.
So,
right.
I was too nerdy, I guess. I had to make room for those art classes and music stuff.
Well, I had room for art and music.
And then by the time I had issues with my math teacher in 8th grade.
Right.
And it really screwed me up. You know what I mean? And then so I ended up having to retake one of the algebra classes, which was so stupid because within the first few weeks, I was like, okay, well, that's what I missed. Can I go back now? Now I know what I'm doing.
It was always an easy subject.
I also took extra writing and stuff too. not just English class, but like writing classes and journalism, and I was that nerd.
Right.
I had to have room for all that.
See, I was always great at math. And years ago when I first moved up to Oregon from California, those that have been watching know, you don't go back and watch the video. I ain't gonna tell you which one, so you watch them all.
Watch them all.
But, you know, I've always been good at math. And when I first moved up, you know, they wanted to put me in a basic math class, you know, to see where I fit in. Well, I had one semester of basic math, and then I went into algebra and geometry for the second and third semesters. And I was like, well, that works out great. You know, for a person in ninth grade working on algebra,
mm-hmm.
was kind of unheard of at that time.
At that time, yeah.
Yeah, because they saved that, reserved that for 10th graders and above.
Whereas when I went to school, we were kind of doing pre-algebra in seventh grade.
Right.
And I flew through that class, but he was a great teacher, and he made everything fun, and like we built stuff, and that's right. How we learned geometry and all that, you know?
Yeah.
And like I remember doing this little bridge project where we built them out of toothpicks, but it was so cool, and you had to make it had to stand, and it had we had to be able to drive a little car across it.
Right.
So
did your car fall through?
No.
Oh, okay.
It was cool. It was a group project, so there was like four of us to a team or whatever.
Okay. But that's cool.
It was a really fun project.
Good deal.
But so in that class, I didn't have any issues at all, and I aced it. Like
right.
You know, so he put me in the pool of kids that were supposed to go to the more advanced class in eighth grade.
Right.
And we all ended up with the worst teacher ever. He was like pretty much straight out of college. He was arrogant.
Oh, no.
And then come to find out later,
mm-hmm.
he was also a
person that was attracted, MAP.
Oh. Yeah, something like that.
You know what an MAP is?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah, so I found that out later from, you know, some other kids that I went to school with after we were grown and older and stuff like that. But he couldn't stand me, like, at all.
Right.
And I also called him out in class a couple times because he was wrong. He had like the little projector thing, mm-hmm. and he's up there doing the math, and I'm doing the math on my paper,
mm-hmm.
and I get my answer, and I look up, and I'm like, wait a minute. Mr. Blah, 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 your
answer's wrong.
That's wrong. Like, you know, I wasn't trying to be mean, but
right.
you're teaching them wrong.
Yeah.
And he got so mad at me, he kicked me out of class. I ended up getting kicked out of class that day.
Wow.
And then he was also the same one that I ended up with, like, strep throat or something 1 week.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was gone all that week. And my brother kept going to his classroom after, you know, after school to get all my homework.
Right.
Well, there's no homework today. There's no homework today. Nope, there's no homework today. Everybody else was sending home homework with my brother.
Right.
But not him. Thursday comes along. He sent the whole week's worth of homework.
Oh, wow.
And when I got there Friday morning, he was expecting me to have all of it and do the test.
Wow.
So he and I got into a verbal argument. A verbal argument. Because that's a thing. But yeah, a verbal altercation in the middle of the class. And I ended up slamming my book on the table and told him he could shove it where the sun don't shine. And I left.
Oh, man.
So, this was the only year that I ever got any referrals, any detention, anything like that. Then he met my dad.
Oops.
Yeah. And And I had told my dad all of this stuff that was going on, right?
Right.
So he was ready when parent-teacher conference came.
Oh, yeah.
And when that teacher tried to tell him that I lied.
Oh.
My dad stood up. And right behind us was a friend of mine and her mom.
Uh-huh.
And she had been having similar issues. She wasn't as verbal as I was.
Right.
But
Bluetooth is on.
She'd been having similar issues. And so her mom was there to talk to him about very similar things. He had a very bad day that day. And then when my brother ended up in his class, a couple years later, he's like reading down the names, gets to my brother's, and he's like, "Do you have a sister?" He's like, "Yeah." My brother should have flunked that class. But every time a report card came out, he had a C.
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
Isn't that cool? It looks like the galaxy.
Oh, you do that when it's dark outside.
Oh, yeah. When it's dark, it looks awesome in here. But how was school for you, Leah?
I was always, in high school, I was always the kid that, well, it was the first time, my mom never found out, it's the first time I ever did classes. I was always the kid who never studied, but I passed all my tests.
Oh, there you go.
Mm-hmm.
And graduated high school and started college and just, like, totally lost interest. And now, you know, 53 years old, I'm back in college again and finding that I like math. I did get an algebra class, and that's actually my favorite classes are the ones I have. So.
Good deal.
Nice.
But I haven't decided on a major yet. I'm thinking accounting.
All
right. But school for me was always, I hated it.
You hated it?
I still passed it and everything.
Right. I got out of the Marine Corps, went to college. And got my degree in computer science. And then a few years later, ended up going back to college, majoring in psychology with a minor in philosophy. And never finished, never got my degree out of that. But I did get my degree for computer science.
So
It worked out.
Well, I tried to do the whole online school thing because of the school that I wanted to go to.
Mm-hmm.
And it just didn't work out for me. And I was like, you know, I don't really need this. Because I wanted to do graphic design.
Right.
And graphic design and concept art.
Okay.
And like the first year was pretty much everything. Nothing to do with actually drawing. Nothing to do with even, you know what I mean? It was all like history stuff.
Right.
Art history. And I'm like, I've already gone through 12 years of art history. Why am I paying for this?
Right. Exactly.
It's stupid.
So you can try to get your degree and they require all these other classes that aren't even related to give you a well-rounded education when, you know, half the units aren't even core units.
Yeah. So how about you just teach me what I want to learn?
I'm paying for it, you know.
Yeah. Instead of trying to fill in all these weird gaps.
Well, I don't know. They might have changed. I don't know. I know when I went to college, they had us do an English lit class, a writing class, a mathematics class, you know, all the basics.
Yeah.
And the reason being is because you might learn that information, but being able to convey that information to others, you need to be able to do that. So you need to be able to learn to write and write grammatically correct.
Well, yeah, but see, we're supposed to learn all that stuff
in high school.
In high school. And
And your basic education.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Nowadays, like all of my college classes pretty much have, or nearly all of them have prerequisites where you have to be able to, you have to either take the class and pass it, or you have to go in and take your placement tests and place for those classes, which is writing class. One's a writing class, and then one's the algebra class I'm in now. For a lot of the classes that I have to take, you know, for a degree or whatever, I have to be able to take those classes and pass them. So you do have to have a little bit of a higher.
Okay, so there are prerequisites that are necessary to fulfill the foundation.
There's still a lot of classes you can take without those prerequisites, but they're not going to get you to that point where you want to get the degree. You know?
Right.
So it's like, you know, to take French 2, you got to take French 1. And to take 3 years of that in high school and don't remember a thing.
Right? I was like, well, I took German, but I can read some of it better than I can speak it.
Right.
You know?
I would love to learn German. I would love to learn different languages.
German's a cool language.
I have patience for that.
I used to know so many different languages, but if you don't use them, you learn it. Yeah. Or you lose it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you don't use it, you lose it. And mm-hmm. that's...
What language you have? Yeah.
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 So, you know, I used to know Spanish, I used to know German, I used to know French.
Speaking of language, and not using it, context is so important, right?
Context is so
okay,
important.
So now that we're talking about words and whatnot, the other day I was watching a True Stream Media video, and she brought out her big old, I told you about this,
right?
But she brought out her old,
dictionary.
Dog hair in my mouth. Anyway. It's you. Anyway. What was I saying? Oh, yeah. Okay, so she brought out this old Webster's Dictionary. International Webster's Dictionary from, like, 1894.
Oh, wow.
And it was a comprising of three previous editions. All in one. I mean, this was, like...
Yeah.
Huge.
Oh, yeah.
You know, just massive book. And she got out a modern day Webster's Dictionary, which I have one, the college one.
Right.
And how small it is. Think about how much it's missing.
Yeah.
And she was talking about the word person.
Mm-hmm.
And remember, I asked you, what is a person? Leave us a comment. What is a person?
Right.
What's a person, Leah?
I want nobody to define that.
Put her on the spot. A human being?
Yeah, human being.
All right.
Okay. That is actually wrong. And we don't even know this. Because we've been taught wrong.
Well, I've been sitting here thinking while you're talking about person, there are so many different ways you can use the word.
Right. Yeah.
So, in part, a human being was one of the definitions.
Right.
But it was like number two or number three in her old book. Number one was actually the same definition as persona, the Latin word that we still use today. When you put on a persona, you're putting on a mask, so to speak.
Right.
You're playing a character,
a role.
As in an actor in a play.
Right.
That is what person actually means.
Huh.
How do we not know this? So when you're talking about a person, I'm actually talking about your character.
Right.
Your persona of whoever you are.
Right.
Right? But it doesn't necessarily mean the solid figure of a human being.
No.
Hmm.
Isn't that weird?
That's interesting.
Also, and she didn't point this out in there, but it made me think, we also don't realize so much anymore that people is actually a multi-use word.
Yeah.
It is a singular and a plural at the same time, like deer or sheep.
Right.
Right. Moose or whatever.
Right.
You are a people. Leah is a people. I am a people. Together we are people.
Right.
I never thought of it that way. You always think of people as I'm not a people. I'm just one part of a whole, which makes up people. You know?
Yeah.
Isn't that weird?
But it kind of makes sense because a lot of the words we have, their meanings change over the years when people use them differently.
Mm-hmm.
No, phrases, words.
What she was talking about was the importance of knowing these things when we're reading those beautiful documents that are hopefully not falling off the wall. because understanding the context back then helps us understand what their actual intent was
right.
when writing it.
Yes.
This is actually kind of part of what I was studying this week and sort of had a episode planned for, but I'm going to go ahead and bring it up. So in the 13th and 14th Amendments, those actually did not pertain to every single human being living in America at that time. It was, okay, so the Labor Code was written by Francis Labor and then signed by Lincoln. And it basically gave the Union, the federal Union government, power to, how do I put this? Because being at war with the Confederates had seceded, right?
Right.
They weren't technically part of the United States of America anymore. They were the Confederate States of America.
Right.
So it was basically a war tactic, the Labor Code was, to give the federal government acknowledgement that the South was no longer part of us.
Right.
And allow them to go in and confiscate slaves, property, whatever, and if they found a runaway slave, they would keep it. The Union would keep it.
Right.
So, then when the war was won, or whatever. We'll just say over. Yeah. When the generals shook hands and were like, we're done.
Yeah.
You know? After that was done, then they freed the slaves, right?
Mm-hmm.
Or so we think.
Well, they gave them 40 acres and a mule.
I know. But also, anyone left in the South was now property of the Union government.
Right.
And then the 14th Amendment talks about any persons, blah, 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 in the United States is under their jurisdiction.
Right.
But what they were actually referring to was basically the captured South.
Mm-hmm.
And anyone in federal government-owned territories that were not states yet.
Right.
Once they became states, then they would be able to basically get out of that. But they were all still free, sovereign
right.
peoples. But we can't really fully understand that if we don't know what the word person meant to them.
Right.
So that makes you're saying makes a whole lot of sense, but it makes a whole lot of sense in conversation nowadays because there's this whole, how different people interpret the Constitution is like right. when it comes to the Second Amendment or First Amendment or whatever.
Right, right.
Everybody interprets it differently.
Right.
Probably because they don't understand.
And our interpretation means nothing if that was not their intent.
Right.
You know? So, but then this changes again in 1871 when they did the District of Columbia Act.
Right.
And created that, which was out of Article 1, Section 8, Clause 17, and if they had worded it just slightly better, I don't think they wouldn't have, because what they actually meant, I think, what their whole intent in that was manipulated to create the
right.
corporation, but I think the Founding Fathers' actual intent was only so that the federal government could provide and protect the people. Provide
right.
for and protect the people.
Right.
You know, so your docks, your military stuff, you know, forts or whatever.
Right.
And things like that. So So this clause basically said that Congress has the power to create a seat for the government.
Right.
In order to, you know, make artilleries and whatever.
Right.
And that was all it was intended for. But then it was used to make the city-state.
Right. Which I don't know. I don't believe in the District of Columbia. I think Mount Vernon would be a better capital than the White House.
But what gets me is, well, like that video from Grace we were watching earlier, how she shows the three city states next to each other.
Yeah.
It's creepy, you guys. Like, it's straight out of 1984. You've got your religious hub. You've got your
commercial hub. Commerce hub.
Yeah, and then you
bank. And then you have your,
you've got the bank hub.
The banking hub.
Yeah, which would be London.
Right.
Right. And then you've got your religious hub in the Vatican.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have the military hub,
which is in Washington, D.C. And all three of them all have obelisks in the cities.
Mm-hmm. Almost identical, too. What if those, like, transmit stuff? You know?
Are you talking about obelisks? Are you talking about, like, the
Washington Monument?
Like, Washington Monument, yep.
Yep.
And there are others in London.
There's one in London, and there's one in the in Vatican City.
Yep. You didn't know that?
Well,
bring it up real quick. More.
Did I spell it right?
What? Vatican? Obelisk?
One of the red things about Washington, D.C., where there's the planning of the city and layout in the city and where the monuments sit and all that other stuff. And right now, I can't even think of what organization. Oh my God, right there, I took my tongue. I can't even think of it.
Okay, there's Washington, D.C. That's the one at the Vatican. Oh, you know what? Let's go over here. Sorry, actually. Okay.
So we have one there in the Vatican.
Uh-huh. And that one. Is that one? That one's the Vatican too, though, isn't it? Kind of looks like it. It's going to show me all the Vatican ones. Okay, so let's take out.
Like there's France, actually. It's probably the Vatican.
Let's go London. See, there's one in London.
And the one in Washington, D.C., the Washington Monument. It's the tallest obelisk in the world and the tallest standing structure in Washington, D.C., standing at 555 feet.
You had to show bread and food. Looks like good bread, too.
Right? I don't know. Now we're hungry.
Yeah, I know there are conspiracy theories about the way the streets are laid out in D.C. and about the Washington Monument and the reflecting pool. And
there's conspiracies around all of them. We just hear about the Washington one because we're in America.
Yeah.
We hear about it more.
Right.
But I've heard people from, you know, from England and stuff talk about the ones over there.
Right.
And there's conspiracy around, you know, theories, I should say, around all three of them.
All right, here we go. Trick question. Where's Vatican City located?
Somewhere in Italy. I don't remember. City. I'd have to look out on
that. Vatican City is...
in it. Rome?
Rome.
Yeah.
It's in Rome, Italy.
Yeah.
It's a country all that's...
Rome's on. Down at the tip of the boot, isn't it?
I believe so.
I think so, yeah. Okay.
Yeah, you were saying Vatican City is a... Is its own entity.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, it's its own entity. Same thing with London and Washington, D.C.
Yeah.
And people don't realize that about London, too. It's like the one that everybody kind of forgets about.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Never knew that.
London is a city-state, too. Yeah. Huh.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It makes you wonder.
Mm-hmm. And when you follow the money, it all goes back to one family.
Rothschilds.
Because, I mean, all those other families, yeah, they're in there, too.
Right.
Making money off of it.
Oh, yeah.
But their high ruler, shall we say, is, yeah.
The Rothschild family. Yeah.
If they always say, follow the money.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And they're, like, they're above the Rockefellers. And, in fact, it's actually theorized that they're ultimately the same family.
Right. Well, it's like the Soros family here in the United States. You know, they throw their money around to influence political affiliations and outcomes.
Mm-hmm.
And they do however, the same stuff over there. They should be, because of the fact, I don't know, me myself, I believe that because of the fact that it's one person, one family, that's throwing this money out for political influence, that there should be a limit on it. And there is. Actually, there is a federal law limiting.
But they get around that.
They get around that by having different
multiple organizations that they run.
Yep.
Personally, I believe there shouldn't be any kind of corporate contributions
to lobbying.
Yeah, there should
be. No lobbying.
You know why it is, though?
Yeah.
Because
got to get paid somehow.
Because it's a corporate company. That's the thing that I was kind of getting into this week was that we are all a franchised piece of U.S. Inc.
Yeah.
So we can get out of it, but it's very... confusing, shall we say. But, like, if you wanted to get out of the system, they can't tell you no. But then you end up having to get a passport, and you can't vote because you are no longer a citizen of the corporate.
Right.
Of the corporate. You know, because it's really not a country.
Right.
We the people are the country.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
But... all of our documents and everything, being all in caps, like your name, that is significant when it comes to
legal law
and legal documents. All caps signifies
an incorporation.
Really?
Yes. So you are incorporated. I'm incorporated. Butch is incorporated. All of us.
Never knew that.
And that was another thing in the 14th. Or in the 13th Amendment, where it says, you know, no slavery or involuntary servitude. And then I was watching something where this guy was talking about that, and he's like, so if there's involuntary servitude, I thought to myself, there must be voluntary servitude. We are all voluntary
servitude.
Yeah.
Yeah.
When, like, going to work,
we signed up
servitude.
At birth.
Right.
Like, basically, our parents signed us over, not knowing.
To expound upon that, not just work, when we get our Social Security card, our number, it's to say that an average person will make so much during their lifetime, on average. Each person that gets a Social Security number is indebted for that amount of money for the remainder of their life.
Mm-hmm.
That's how much money you're going to be paying in taxes and everything else for the safety and well-being. Well, no, that's not our job and responsibility. Our job and responsibility is to be a free citizen of a country
to pursue life, liberty, and happiness. That's
our responsibility.
And the government is supposed to take care of us.
Right.
As far as like, not take care, like hand out money.
Right. No.
You know,
no.
Welfare and all that junk.
No.
But they are supposed to be the guard.
Right.
That is literally all they were really supposed to be. Mm-hmm. Was the guard.
Mm-hmm.
The watch over the safety of the country. So, in order to really understand this, we have to understand commerce and all of that, because that's literally what it is.
Yeah.
Everything that we have been taught is...
Once you start thinking or looking at it from a different...
It's all commercial.
From our perspective, it's all commercial.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And when you step back and really think about it, it makes sense.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think we'll probably leave you guys with that note, some curiosity for the day.
Yeah, definitely.
What are they talking about?
Do your own research, as we always say.
And actually, check out that channel, Blossom Inner Wellness, because she's been talking about this stuff a lot lately.
Right.
And that guy that she interviewed about the fires, he's a retired fire chief.
Right.
He actually got himself out of the system. And so they've kind of come together on the show to try to teach people what this is all about.
Right.
Like, you know, I'm not saying that, oh, you need to do this, but you do need to understand it.
Right.
Because even as incorporated citizens of the corporation, I think it's important for us to understand this.
Yes.
Because even though we are in the system, how can we manipulate the system?
Well, everyone else is manipulating it against us. We should be able to manipulate
exactly. it against And them. We can if we know how it works.
Yep.
But we have to know how it works.
Right. So do your research. Yeah.
All right.
Until next time, everyone, thanks for joining us today. But until next time, don't believe the nonsense and...
Stay uncommon. Cut. Oh, I was...